We began discussing last week, and we'll be focusing on this week, an area of Nizkei Sheinim, which is perhaps one of the most common, one of the most often argued about modern versions of Nizkei Sheinim, the question of noise. A neighbor makes noise, and it bothers his neighbor. Certain parts of Nizkei Sheinim, there's a lot in the earlier poskim, but don't really come up so much. All these halachas about the pits, and maybe the principles come up, but the details really are kind of... Not so practical today, the pits and the geffes and these types of things. The noise is kind of the opposite. There is there's some discussion about it in the Rishonim, but the modern shalosis comes up constantly in all kinds of variations, and the poskim have tried to figure out what the rules should be based on what the Rishonim said. It's a somewhat difficult and chaotic business. The Rishonim left us with a kind of unclear and difficult to work out what the shita exactly is. So start discussing tonight some of the basic shitas of the Rishonim and the earlier Achronim. We'll move from there, maybe at the end, and Wednesday maybe, we'll discuss some of the contemporary application of these principles. So the whole discussion begins from a Mishnah, a somewhat difficult, obscure Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if somebody wants to operate a shop or some kind of commercial establishment, so the neighbors have the right to object because they can say, the language of the Mishnah is, we can't sleep because of the kol hanachnasin v'yotzin. The noise of the traffic is disturbing us and we can't sleep. Question whether that means that we're actually selling at night, that the stores were open 24 hours a day, whether it means during the day, that the post can discuss. You'll see a little bit in the siman whether noise is a problem during the day or not. But that's the language of the Mishnah, that you can object to the fact that the customers, the clients are making noise and that bothers you. However, if he wants to produce his stuff locally, bang, and have a workshop and use his hammers and tools inside his house and make stuff and then sell it out in the street where it won't bother you, the selling won't bother you, that's fine, and you can say that you don't like the hammer, that the hammering is bothering you. So for some reason, when it comes to the traffic, which the post can say seems to be less of a problem, there you have the right to say, I can't deal with the traffic and the noise of the customers and the traffic. That's an objection. When it comes to the noise of the hammer, then you have no objection, and the Mishnah is completely silent, or almost completely silent, on why that should be. Why is the objection to the hammer less valid than the objection to the noise of the customers? So there are probably about a half dozen different ideas, different solutions to this problem in the Rishonim and Achronim, and they all have implications, they all have consequences, halakha l'maisa, which ones you adopt. It's very unclear which one we do adopt, actually. So first of all, there's the Rambam. The Rambam is different from everyone else. The Rambam understands the Mishnah, apparently, that everything is asur l'chatchila. L'chatchila, you do have the right to object both to the hammer and to the noisy customers. In the case where there's no chazaka, where they're coming to start, he's coming to start this establishment, you can object to either of those. Is it taka no difference? The difference is only in chazaka. One of them you get a chazaka, one of them you don't, and we're not going to get into what right now why that should be. But in terms of the basic question, before there's any chazaka, is it mutter to make noise? According to the Rambam, the answer is flat out no. Not noise of customers, not noise of hammers, and that is how the Shulchan Aruch himself paskins. That's a very easy shita. You can argue it's a little bit dachuk in the Lashon of the Mishnah maybe, but conceptually this is a very easy shita. Again, before we get into chazakas, the basic shita is all noise is aser, everything is aser. That is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that your inability to object to the hammer is only if it's kar heksik. Without chazaka, everything is aser. Many other Rishonim and Achronim don't go like that. Many other Rishonim and Achronim learn the Mishnah Kipshuto, including the Ramah brings the Shita, that even L'chatchila, you're not allowed to object to the hammering noises. So then the question is why? As we said, the question is why? Why can you object to the noise of the traffic and not to the noise of the hammer? So one approach is the Rashba and the Ramban. They argue, really you can't object to any noise. Noise is simply not something Chazal gave you the right to object to. I guess it's not a tangible hezek. Noise is not something which neighbors have the right to complain about. So why in the beginning of the Mishnah can you object to the noise of the customers? In the Konami, it's not the noise of the customers that's a problem.
Disappeared on me. I didn't know where you went.
Sorry. Noise is lav dafka. It really means when it says nechnasin v'yotzin, even though it says kol nechnasin v'yotzin, it says lishon, it doesn't really mean the noise. It means the traffic, the busyness, the congestion. It means all the problems traffic caused. That's a real objection. Noise is not an objection, though, not in the case of the hammer, not really in the case of the customers either. It just means that there's a different objection to the busyness, noise is not a problem. That's basically the shita Rama brings. Yesh amrim, that there is no real objection l'chatchila to, doesn't explain much, but one of the shitas behind the Rama is the Rashba and the Ramban. Noise is not something you can object to. Now again, the Rashba and the Ramban don't really explain why noise is not something you can object to. I tentatively suggested before, because noise is not like a tangible hezek somehow, you know, kol marav areach. The Chasam Sofer brings a Maral Bach, who gives a somewhat different hezber. The Maral Bach seems to understand the Rashba and the Ramban to mean, I didn't have a chance to look it up inside, so the Chasam Sofer bring it down. These Acharonim understand, the difference is not really noise per se versus traffic and congestion per se. The difference really is whether there's a good alternative or not. When it comes to where you're going to do the actual selling, you don't have to sell from your house. You can sell somewhere else, sell on the street, sell off a truck. Today we would say rent an office, but that would apply to the hammering also. So I'm not sure that's what they mean, but you can sell b'shuk. There is an eitz of selling b'shuk, so you don't have to do it this way. So don't do it this way. Mashenken hammering, it's not practical, it's not realistic to do the hammering in a public space. You just can't do that. Therefore, they allowed you to do the hammering in your house. So again, as we've said repeatedly, some of the halachas of Niske Shkainim, as we'll see more this week, are not so much based on Lumdish first principles. They're based on what Chazal felt was realistic and practical and workable. And this, they felt that the noise itself, the hammering, the manufacturing process, is no other way to do it but to allow you to do it in your house. But the selling, they felt that we can ask you to sell on the street, sell b'shuk. The Maral Bach argues that's merumas in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you can't, sell from your house, but you can hammer in your house and sell b'shuk. The reason you can't sell in your house is because you have the option of selling b'shuk. Hammering, there's no option of selling b'shuk, so you can do in your house.
According to this, really has nothing to do with noise. Hypothetically,
right.
If you had noise, what you could do with b'shuk,
you'd
also be able to.
And that's really the Chasam Sofer's point. The Chasam Sofer found a case of selling which you couldn't do b'shuk. The specific example you'll see in the Pesachei Tshuva, the specific example was a bar. The Chasam Sofer says the idea of a bar is not just to sell alcohol, where you can sell alcohol out of a truck. It's true, it's a liquor store, but he says, but the point of a bar is people can go and hang out, he basically says. That's what a bar is. It's a place where people can go, he says, to unwind, to relieve their anxiety. So that's a business model, he says, where there is no eitzah of going b'shuk. Therefore, he says that would be as far as to say that even the traffic would be mutter, even though there's traffic and there's ribuah derech, it's also mutter in the house because, like you just said, because the ikur is not the noise versus the ribuah derech, the ikur is the whether there's an option of doing it b'shuk or not, which, again, I have a hard time seeing how it fits into the Rashba, but this is the idea of the, at least in and of itself, this is the idea of the Maral Bach and the Chasam Sofer. This takes us to the Meiri, which is widely quoted by the contemporary poskim. Again, the Meiri here is it's very funny in terms of the development of halacha. The Beis Yosef, the early poskim don't really do anything with this Meiri. The earlier Achronim don't really, like most Meiris, they don't really play a prominent role in the development of the halacha l'maisa. The contemporary poskim have kind of rediscovered this Meiri and elevated it into a major shita and kind of tried to develop the halacha l'maisa based on this Meiri. The Meiri says, again, similar to the Maral Bach, that the difference is not so much noise per se versus traffic per se. The difference is what's considered normal to do in your house and what's not considered normal. Meiri says hammering and these types of things people typically and commonly do in their houses, so Chazal didn't want to take that right away from you. While selling was not something that was normally done in one's house, so selling, Chazal said, it's an unusual use anyway, so don't do it if it interferes with the neighbor. So again, the chiluk is not really so much between noise and traffic. The chiluk is between what's normal and what's not normal. Similar to the Maral Bach. Maral Bach is not really discussing normal. He's discussing how practical, how plausible would it be for you to go do it somewhere else. And here he's saying, not so much whether it's objectively possible or not, but he's discussing custom and convention, whether it is something which is commonly done at home or not. And again, with the similar svaras, and that it's not the difference between noise and between noise and traffic. It's between custom and pragmatism.
The Nafkamina would be having a bar in your house.
Right, having a bar in your house. The Maral Bach is saying you can't do it anyplace else, but according to the Meiri, it's certainly not the derech to do that in your house. Yeah, then that would be a Nafkamina. According to the Chasam Sofer's chiddush, that a bar in your house is a svar lahakel, would not apply according to the Meiri. On the other hand, as we'll discuss when we get to some of the later poskim, there are many things that people want to justify based on the Meiri, which would not be mutter according to the Maral Bach necessarily. As we'll, some of them will mutter under both theories, but there are certainly going to be some things that are mutter under the Meiri, which are not going to be mutter under the Maral Bach. Right. Maybe we'll see some examples later. The Chazon Ish, we'll get into this more later, and as I was mentioning to Rabbi Sussman earlier, the Chazon Ish, the few lines in the Sefer Chazon Ish, which was elevated into an entire Shulchan Aruch, an entire doctrine, particularly by the Israeli poskim, as we'll discuss in the later poskim, the Halacha L'maaseh section of this, Chazon Ish doesn't mention the Meiri, but he arrives at a similar position on his own, that he just says, Misvar is an Afshay, that all this talk in the poskim about things you have the right to object to, he's actually going in the context of the Rivash, which you'll see this week, the Rivash says even things which are Medina Mutter become Asir if someone's sick and especially sensitive. We discussed this Rivash in the past. He has the right to object. The Chazon Ish is saying even things which would be Asir because of this Chumrah of the Rivash are only things which aren't normal and essential parts of daily life. Things which are parts of normal life, the example he gives is children squalling even at night. He says, you can't tell people, I'm not sure what you would tell them in the first place. Don't move in here if you have kids. Put your kids up for adoption. I'm not sure what the solution is. But and again, if you're raising the kids, you're ferberizing them, someone was asking me in such a way that they're making excessive noise, I'm not sure the Chazon Ish is talking about that. But certainly normal child rearing, where the kids make a certain amount of noise, the Chazon Ish says, very similar to the Meiri, that's something which is normal, and therefore the neighbors have no claim. All this talk about neighbors having an objection is only if you're doing things which are at least somewhat uncommon or not universal or kind of your particular individual things, but not things which are considered the normal way in which people live in society. And again, as I said, the Israeli poskim have elevated this into an entire doctrine. They kind of view all kinds of modern shailos through the perspective of, is this normal or not? And all based on this Chazon Ish, which is really, as we've said, which is really a Meiri, says something very similar to the poskim point out much earlier. But again, the Meiri didn't have any traction in halacha until pretty recently, then the Chazon Ish said it, and it became a kind of a major doctrine. The last of the major svaras I want to mention tonight, the major differences between the hammering and the traffic, why hammering, even though, again, the postkim seem to assume that the hammering is, in terms of objectively, which is more of a nuisance, it's the hammering. Nevertheless, the hammering is mutter, according to many shitas. The last svar is the svar of the sma, which may have support in other postkim also. The sma says, a chiluk, that, again, it's not strictly between noise versus traffic, but here it's more closely coupled to the distinction between noise and traffic, and that is that the hammering is taking place inside your private property. The hammering you're doing inside your house. So a man's home is his castle, he can do whatever he wants, even though, obviously, there are exceptions to that. We learned throughout the last sermon, we learned through our case where you can't do whatever you want inside your house if it bothers your neighbors. But at least with regard to the denim of this sermon, when it comes to hammering, since you're doing it inside your house, you have more of a right to do it, and the neighbor has less of a right to object. When it comes to traffic, the traffic is going to be in the chatzer or the mavoi or in public spaces, jointly owned spaces, public spaces. There, the neighbor has the right to object, because he's saying it's not just in your private house. The traffic is coming in the space that I own too. It's coming in my public space, coming in space that I'm a part owner too. Therefore, that gives you more of a right to object, because this is happening in a public space. These are kind of the background, that these are the half dozen or so major svaras, how to understand the Mishnah, why in the ratio of the Mishnah you can object to traffic, and the Sefer you can't object to hammering. These are kind of the half dozen or so approaches which are played with by all the contemporary poskim, who then try to figure out, based on all these different rules, whether modern different types of noise situations should be osir or mutter. As we mentioned earlier, the Shulchan Aruch says, like, goes with the Rambam, that noise is actually usher before you get a chazaka, and that pretty much forestalls the whole discussion. All noise is usher. The Ramah goes the other way. The Ramah actually it doesn't say he's machriya. The Ramah just says yesh amrim, and that's always a question. When the Ramah says yesh amrim, it doesn't say v'chein agin or v'chein ikr or v'chein nerali. Does that mean he's paskening, or he's just bringing down another shita? So some of the poskim discuss this meta question of how should we paskin. Some say for Sfardim you should be machmer like the Mechaber, for Ashkenazim you can be makel like the Ramah, even according to the Ramah it's a machlokas. Some treat it as a machlokas, and they then discuss the whole question of what is the general rule in this Kishkenim when you have a machlokas, misafik, are you allowed to do it or not, who's considered muksuk. We discussed that question a little bit back when we started our study of Niskeshchenim. So these are all kind of how to be machriya the shayla. Not going to get into that much, certainly not tonight. But basically, the Mechaber and the Ramah right away give you two different opinions about whether noise is something you can be ma'akev or not. I just want to mention, there are, for years, this has been bothering me, I still don't know the solution. There are shitas who say something which has been almost completely ignored by all these modern poskim, and I don't know why. Is it because of Das Yachid, or because people didn't realize this, but there are at least two tshuvas. One of them is the Dibrei Chaim of Sanz, one of the Zakan Aaron, or Aaron Walken, who both say that all this discussion, it's not entirely clear which of all the shittas they're going with, of all these different Rishonim and Achronim, but they both say, as they categorically insist, as a matter of halacha l'maisa, all this discussion of Ribui HaDerech and noise, all the Masu Matan and the Rishonim and early Poskim about when noise and when traffic is a hezek, all that discussion is only when we're dealing with joint property. Certainly the question of Ribui HaDerech is only an issue where there's some jointly owned property, like a chatzer or a mavoi or some type of thing where there's property which is...
Nowadays, that would be like a common area in a condominium.
Like a common area in a condominium or an apartment building. Well, apartment building, there's only one owner, but right, mm-hmm. where you have like townhouses and these types of situations where there is common area. So there, so there, the post can have all these rules and all these ins and outs about whether you have the right to object. These posts can both say, when you're dealing with the more common situation, certainly in the United States, where people are what they call Shechene HaRachov, they're simply neighbors on the street, but they have no property in common, then this Kan Aaron says, less din, less dayan, there is no objection. The Dibrei Chaim says, that's the minhag, people do this all the time. People build what they want in their own property, they don't care about the neighbors, the neighbors have no claim. They both insist that none of these halachas are relevant between two neighbors who share nothing in common. And if so, this eliminates about 95% of these. In Eretz Yisrael, you still have these cases, because in Eretz Yisrael, very often they all have their diras, and they are really condominium-style living, multiple diras in one building, and you do have condominiums, like you said, you do have cases like that. But between ordinary neighbors, according to these shitas, you eliminate about 95% of the cases. They don't explain why this is so pasha to them, really, why it's so obvious, but they both state this pretty emphatically, that these claims do not begin when you're not dealing with shared property. And my impression is that the contemporary poskim don't go with this. We'll have to see some of the discussions maybe Wednesday. But it's important to know that there are two major poskim who say this. So again, this is basically the background in terms of the earlier poskim, and Emir Tashem, Wednesday, we'll continue with discussing many of the halakha l'maisa aspects that are discussed by the contemporary poskim, mostly the Israeli poskim.